Apostle Paul saw evidence in Timothy's life of a sincere faith. We see in verse 5, the first part of it says, "For I am reminded of your sincere faith within you." I'm reminded of it. That's amazing. The Apostle Paul, sitting in prison, waiting execution within any time, is thinking about this young guy and the faith that he had. Is anybody thinking about your faith? Is anybody reminded of how sincere you love Jesus? Is anybody really thinking about you and what you stand for in this life for Christ? Here, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, is thinking about Timothy. And he makes note of it. He says, listen, we can see it in your grandmother, Lois, and we can see it in your mother, Eunice, but I see it in you. Man, there are some people who can see faith in my mom, but listen, do they see it in me? Maybe there are some people who can see faith in your grandparents or in your parents, but do they see it in you? Apostle Paul thinks of Timothy and his family, and he recognizes this sincere faith. The Greek word for insincere comes out to be the word hypocrisy or hypocrite. Hypocrisy or insincerity literally means someone acting. Why? The insincere faith of a hypocrite is a hypocritical faith. Among the Greeks, an actor was called a hypocrite. It was a custom for Greek and Roman actors to wear large masks and to put on a face that helps project their voice. It was all staged. It was all acting. Should you imagine? The word insincere is the same word as being a hypocrite. So there are many people who walk in and out of church doors who are not very sincere about their faith. And Paul says an insincere faith basically is a hypocrite. It's all acting. It's all staged. It's just wearing a mask. Paul recognizes Timothy's faith, though. It was not an act. He didn't put on another face depending on which group of people he was gathering with. Think about that. So when you're at church and you're around churchy people, do you act churchy? Your language changes. If you own the King James Bible, you're probably saying thee, thou, those. Mm-hmm. Maybe your prayers even change. Lord, whatever thy will be done. Listen, we don't talk like that. Maybe around your family, you're a little more relaxed, so they see a different person. But maybe at a wedding reception, you're a totally different person altogether. Nobody recognizes you as a Christian. Maybe when you're at the camp stirring the pots, the things that's going on and the things that's being said, someone may be hard-pressed to see a sincere faith living through you. I don't know. Are you the same person here as you are in your family? Or you're at school, or at work, or at the camp. Are you the same person? Sincere faith with no acting. The faith Timothy held and demonstrated was sincere, it was genuine, it was real, it was heartfelt and true. The latter part of verse 5, Paul comments, he says, I'm sure that it's living in you as well. I'm sure. Man. We want to know what other people think about us. May it not be a great reputation or a great job, or may it be that we have a sincere faith in Jesus. We're not perfect by any means. We're going to stumble here and there. We're going to make some mistakes. But man, deep inside, we're motivated because we love Christ. We're living this life and it's really sincere. Our faith in Jesus means something to us. And we, in the power of the Holy Spirit, try to live it out every day. Do you have a sincere faith in Jesus? See, it's easy to act like a Christian around other Christians. It's not so difficult to own your parents' faith when you're living with them. It's easy to go along with the teachings and the doctrines of a particular denomination or church. while you're attending that particular church or denomination. But it's not so difficult to blend in and never own a genuine faith in Jesus in your own life. You can be a social Christian and never own faith at all. And I'm afraid that's what a lot of people settle for, social Christianity. When you're around one group, you look like a Christian, you act like a Christian. Man, anybody can do that. But what are you when you're by yourself? What are you when you're around people who are not saved? What are you like then? See, the people with sincere faith do not simply go through the motions. Those with a sincere faith love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And people with genuine faith demonstrate their faith in a way that they live, in a way that they work, in a way that they play. Their recreational time, all of it, you can just see that their life is centered around Christ. It's genuine. It's just who they are. People with genuine faith intentionally spend time in prayer and Bible reading, exalting God in worship. Sincere faith produces spiritual fruit of evidence of Christ abiding in their life. What spiritual fruit are you producing? Is there evidence of sincere faith in your life? Like Paul could see it in Timothy, and he makes note of it. The second thing is this. He tells Timothy to fan into flame the gift of the Spirit within you. Verse 6 says, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." A sincere faith is in him. That's what Paul saw. But he also saw that Timothy was a little downhearted because that Paul was being arrested. He was in prison expecting to be martyred for the faith. And he had a church to go back to and a lot of problems going on with that church. And Paul's like, rekindle the flame. Stoke it up. Throw some gas on it if you have to. The Spirit living in you needs your total devotion, your submission, your surrender to live in the power of the Holy Ghost in you. Timothy was downhearted, but Paul says, get over that. There's too much to do. There was a great lesson for all of us in God's Word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul writes this to the church at Thessalonica. He says, don't quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. So what that tells me, it is within your power and my power as Christians to either fan the flames of the Spirit of God living in us or quench him out. Are you living in the power of the Spirit as you're fanning the flame for the Spirit's giftedness in you to shine even brighter, that you are a walking powerhouse for God? Or are you quenching the Spirit, trying to be a secret saint so nobody knows? You see, as believers, it is in our power both to quench the Spirit and also to fan the flame. The gift of God here that Paul is talking about for Timothy alludes to the special gift of the Spirit conferred upon him at his ordination to be a pastor and proclaim the gospel through preaching. But every one of us, when we're born again, has a spiritual gift. At least one. All of us. See, this same message is so relevant for us today. As born-again believers, we're to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. He's abiding with us, but are we submissive to Him? Are we fanning the flame, saying, Lord, today I submit myself fresh and anew. Fill me today, Lord, so I can walk with You in the power that You've given to me. How can we know our spiritual gift and exercise it if we're not being submissive to God every day for it? Fan the flames. Kindle it up. Live it out. Oh, God has gifted each of us in ways he deems necessary for us to fulfill the purpose for which he's created us. Not all of us are called to be pastors. Not all of us called to be missionaries in a foreign land. We're all called to be missionaries where we're at. But man, the giftedness that each one of you have. Timothy had a gift that was God-given. You have a gift that the Holy Spirit has given to you. And the Holy Spirit of God is saying, I want to use you. Submit to me. I want you to be a powerful influence for Christ. You have a sincere faith? Now live it out in my power. Fan the flame of the Spirit living in you to live out your calling and your purpose for giving God glory wherever he has planted you. Fan the flames of the Holy Spirit living in you. When you neglect to kindle the flames afresh and anew in the Spirit, you are actually quenching out the Spirit of God. You're neglecting to live in the power of the Holy Spirit to find victory over sin and temptation, to find victories for Jesus. We sing it that was one of the old favorite Baptist hymns. Victory in Jesus, huh? Oh, victory in Jesus. But boy, we don't live it. We like to sing it. Or as we say in the northern part of the parish, we like to sing it. But sometimes it's hard-pressed to find the victories in us because we're not submitting to the Spirit of God. We're not fanning the flame for him to live and abide with us with power. When was the last time as a Christian you sensed the power of God living in you? You have a purpose for this life. God has called you for a purpose and a plan. Before you were born, he already had a plan laid out for you. When he saves you, he equips you. Why? Because there's work to be done, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. That there's already work for you to be doing. Do you know what that is? Are you using the giftedness that God has given you by fanning the flame? Kindle afresh the Spirit. Verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, meaning lack of courage, but a power and love and discipline. So here Paul is telling Timothy, don't be discouraged about what you hear and what you see. Don't be discouraged about the mountain in front of you. Get to work. Kindle the flame. Fan the flame of the Spirit. Use the giftedness that God has given you to be the person that he's called you to be, to fulfill your purpose in this life. Giving God glory wherever he planted you. He's telling you this. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by people who want to crush your faith. Don't be intimidated by those where obstacles and things come against you. No. Kindle afresh the Spirit of God in you so you can live with courage and power and love for God and love for others and be a person who is disciplined. The Spirit yields discipline. And discipline promotes growth and positive gains and goals to find the success that God has called us to. Not our own success, but the success that God has called us to. Listen, it can be a fearful thing to face life's challenges and uncertainties. I think we all can agree with that. There's been things in life that we face and challenges that we face. It's like, where did that come from? I wasn't prepared for that. Man, just raising children can be that. Some uncertainties. And sometimes the world even comes against us and seeks to dismantle the faith that we have. But stay the course. Stay the course. The Holy Spirit abides in you. He's given you everything that you need to live a life of sincere faith, honoring to God. God has his plan for your life, and it will be manifest into reality for you. It may not be the way that you dreamed or the way that you thought or hoped for, but his ultimate plan exceeds what we could dream or desire. True life fulfillment and satisfaction is in Christ Jesus as we live in the power of the Spirit. That is a true life satisfaction. It's not how much money we make. It's not how many hours we have or how easy and or recreation that we have. Listen, that's not life fulfillment. Life fulfillment is knowing deep inside that you are living out the life that Christ created for you and doing His will and glorifying God in the power of the Spirit. The third thing we see here is Paul's words to Timothy. To live with enthusiasm for Jesus. Listen, it's hard to get a crowd at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday to be enthusiastic. It really is. Yeah, Brother Kevin, we know. Because we're that unenthusiastic crowd. No, verse 8 says this. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, Paul says, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. He first tells him, don't be intimidated. Fan the flame, kindle the flame of the Holy Spirit. Don't be scared. Don't lack courage to face the world and the challenges and obstacles and all the things that will come against you. Face them headlong. Stay the course. You will have victory. And do it with enthusiasm. Listen, Christian, the world will try to break you from your faith and shame you in the silence. You turn on the news for a few minutes, or you turn on just about any talk show, you will see them trying to silence and shame Christianity. You're on the hit list, Christian. The cancel culture is coming for you, and it's already slicing up. Do not be ashamed of your faith in Jesus. Own your faith with love and patience and fervor. Own your faith with passion for others, empathy for what they're going through with life and what life has dealt with them, and with the endurance that you will stand strong when the storms of life try to wipe you out. Stand strong. The devil is the one who's coming against you. Know that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and spiritual realms. Do not be ashamed of Jesus. Do more than just settle in to be a secret saint where you're quietly passing through life without saying a word about Jesus as Savior. I'll just go to church and be quiet and won't say a word. I'll be just a humble little servant. Man, live with some enthusiasm. Live out loud. You don't have to preach to everybody. Thump them over the head with the Bible. Please don't do that. But you can be an outspoken person for Christ. You don't need to cower in shame. Paul is telling Timothy, don't be intimidated. Don't lack courage. Be enthusiastic. Live out loud for Jesus, wherever He's planted you to grow. If you're in school, live out loud for Jesus. If you're at work, live for Christ. If you're a homemaker, be sure your family knows that you live for Christ. Why? Because there will be people at work who try to crush you. There'll be people at school who try to peer pressure you into doing whatever else the world says is fun and brings satisfaction. There'll be people who try to dismantle your faith and persuade you to go a different route. You may be persecuted for Christ. You may be teased and ridiculed. You may face injustices and prejudice and unfair treatment. But Peter tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Says, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but it's to glorify God in this name. Oh, man. Live out loud. Regardless of what the world tries to do, whatever pressures come your way, whatever things try to dismantle you, whatever family members try to persuade you to go a different route, whatever it may be, just live steady for Christ. Keep growing. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make some slip-ups here and there, but just keep growing. Keep growing. The thing about being a Christian life is when you stumble, you get up, the Holy Spirit dusts you off, and you keep on going. You don't quit. You don't quit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 says, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Live in the power of the cross. The fourth thing we see in his, and we're closing. It says, own your faith because Christ has a holy calling on you. We see in verse 9, talking about Jesus who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted in Christ Jesus from all eternity. You cannot lose a faith that you've never owned. You hear me? You can't lose faith if you've never owned faith. And once you're in the faith, you can't lose it then. When you're in the faith of Jesus Christ, you don't walk away. Why? Because it's sincere. It's your faith. You have been regenerated. You have been changed. You are born again into the kingdom. Because God has saved you in Christ Jesus. He has gifted you with His Spirit. He has called you out of your sin to salvation. He has called you and elected you out of this world to be set apart as His child, to be light in a dark world. He has given you saving grace and saved you for the purpose of being His ambassador to the world. That's what He's called you for. That's what He's gifted you for. You have a calling on your life to be set apart from the rest of the world, to be different. A lighthouse is always put on a furthest point to shine light to the ships out in the dark sea, to warn them of the dangers ahead. That's what a lighthouse does. You are a lighthouse for Jesus. He will put you on the most rocket, difficult, where the storms are clashing against it, where the waves are cutting underneath it. That's where God wants you. He wants you in a place that the world will see the light of Jesus Christ shining through you. And it's not going to be an easy place. It's easy to come to Christ and know Christ while you're sitting in church. But it's out there in the world where it's difficult. And that's where God wants you to be. Why? Because you have a calling in your life to be set apart and be different. Live out loud. Live your faith with courage. And guard against growing stagnant or drifting away from Christ. See, God has an amazing future. That's all in His providential plan for us. It doesn't matter what age we get to. God is always working on us and working in us and working through us. Regardless of what stage of life we're in, He's always using His children for His glory. Own your faith. Own it. Live it out loud. Fan the flame of the Holy Spirit in you. Why? Because you have a gift that has been given to you by God to be used to fulfill the calling that He has in your life. Do you own your faith today? Can others see your faith? Can others recognize a sincere faith in you? Not a churchy faith that you're only showing some faith around Christian, certain groups of people. But are you showing faith every day of your life? Is evidence in you even when difficulties surround you? Even when all those around you are acting like the world, will you be the lighthouse instead of part? Own your faith. Just as Paul is reminding Timothy, Timothy, is difficult out there. But I see something different in you. That fire is burning in you. That desire to pursue Christ is burning in you. Don't quench the Spirit. Kindle the flame. Fan the flames of Jesus Christ in you. So that the calling in your life can be evident. And the giftedness that He's given to you can be used to glorify God. That message is still relevant for us today. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, thank You for the calling the Holy Spirit brought into our life for salvation. We are forever, eternally grateful for Your grace and for Your mercy upon us as sinners. God, thank you for your spirit that you've given to us to live this life with victory. God, thank you so much that you've allowed us the gifts that we can live a life that is pleasing and honoring to you and glorifying you through those gifts. Lord, I pray today that as we examine our own life, maybe there's someone here who's even asking, am I in the faith or not? Or have I just been a religious person without a relationship with Jesus? Holy Spirit, you're the one to show them. Not based on good, on works, not based on goodness or character, but based on your grace, your mercy to all of us as sinners. Have your way today in our life, in Jesus' name. Amen.